We thank you, Lord, that you are good. The Lord is good and his mercy endures forever, Lord. We come to give you praise today. So I come to give you praise today, Lord. So I've come to sing joyfully. I've come to shout joyfully. I've come to lift my voice and praise the Lord. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a big hand of praise today. Give him a shout today. Come on, put your hands together. Show yourself up today. I will bless the Lord. David said, I will bless the Lord. His praise will always be in my mouth. It's a decision. It's a choice. You've got to stir yourself up. I will bless the Lord. I will bless the Lord. Yeah, I'm facing some challenges, but I will bless the Lord. Yeah, the enemy is coming against me, but I will bless the Lord. I will give him praise. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you for your presence. Thank you.
name of Jesus. Somebody want to say Jesus. Everyone say that now, Jesus. The name above every name. We lift up the name of Jesus. Love has a name, and His name is Jesus. Joy has a name, and His name is Jesus. My victory has a name, and His name is Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, the Word of God says in Ephesians chapter 6, in verse number 10, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, and against the rulers of the darkness of this age, and against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. The Bible says that we have an enemy, and we wrestle against principalities and powers, and demonic forces in high places. That's what the scripture says. And as I was praying for you this week, I felt like the Lord said to me that there's a lot of people here, and the enemy has come against you. You've had a spiritual attack come against you in your life. And sometimes it happens, it may be in your health. It may be a sickness. And very often I realize that it's actually the enemy attacking us with that sickness. Sometimes it's financial, a financial difficulty or lack. And sometimes we don't always realize that it's a spiritual attack of the enemy coming against us to attack us in our finances. Sometimes it's in something in our family situation, a relationship in a family, where we don't always understand and we don't always see that the enemy is trying to come between to bring division and to bring strife. And this morning I want to pray. I want to pray for anyone that is under spiritual attack this morning. I want to pray. I texted someone last night. I hope she came today, because she said to me that she'd been having trouble sleeping, that she couldn't sleep, and that she really wanted to come to church, but she just couldn't, you know, stay awake all night. And I said, that's a spiritual attack. And you just come to church, I'll pray, and it'll stop. And I hope she did come today. But if not, if you're standing here this morning and you say, Pastor Steve, I think I've been under spiritual attack in my health, in my finances, in my family, whatever it may be, we want to pray for you today, because the Bible says in James 4 verse 7, resist the devil and he will flee from you. We have authority over him. We have the mighty name of Jesus. And the Bible says that every knee must bow to the name of Jesus. And so we're going to use the authority in that great name to which every knee must bow. And we're going to take authority over every demonic attack that is coming against your life. And we are going to command the enemy. We're going to resist him. And we're going to command him to flee from you in the name of Jesus. So I don't want you to be, please don't be shy this morning, because I believe the Lord is calling you out today, because He wants to set you free. He wants to minister to you. He wants to bring healing. He wants to bring breakthrough. He wants to bring freedom. He wants to bring deliverance. He wants to bring victory. And so if you need prayer this morning, I want you to step out and stand in the aisle. Just step out into the aisle so we know that you need prayer. You can stand in the aisle. You can come and stand up here. I'm going to pray for you. Just step out in the aisle this morning, and we are going to come over and we're going to pray with you this morning. And I believe that God is going to do a miracle for you. I believe that God is going to set you free. I believe that God is going to supply every need in the name of Jesus. So if you need prayer, step out into the aisle right now. And I want to ask people to gather around them, and I want to pray right now for you in the name of Jesus. Yes, anyone who's watching this online, if you're watching this online, we want to pray for you. Just put your hand upon yourself, because I'm going to pray one prayer. And as I pray, God's going to touch each and every one of you. So I want to have some of our prayer partners. Please gather around these folks. Please gather around the prayer partners. Find someone. And lay your hand on them. I'm going to pray right now. Get ready. Because I'm going to pray for all of you at this one time. Are you ready? I want everyone to have somebody with them. I want everyone has someone standing with you. Father, I thank you. I thank you for the power and the authority that you've given us in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you that the name of Jesus has been exalted above every name. And you said, Lord, that every knee will bow and every knee must confess that he is Lord. So in the name of Jesus, I come against every demonic attack against you. In Jesus' name, I take authority over every demonic spirit that's come to attack you in your health, in your finances, in your family, in any way. I take authority over depression. I take authority over any kind of abundance, any kind of sleep disorder, any kind of demonic oppression against you. In Jesus' name, devil, I command you to loose the people of God. I command lack to go. I command sickness to go. I command every bondage to be broken. I speak restoration. I release the healing power of the Lord Jesus Christ to flow into your body. I command your body be healed in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for supplying every need. I thank you that every curse, every lack is broken in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for abundance. I thank you for provision. I thank you for restoration. I thank you for breakthroughs. I thank you for freedom. I thank you for peace, Lord. I thank you for peace in our mind. I thank you for peace in our soul. I thank you, Father, for touching your people. In the name of Jesus, receive it right now. I release the anointing of God to flow right through you, to remove every burden, to destroy every yoke. In Jesus' mighty name, Lord, we give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. And all God's people shout it out. Amen. Everyone said amen. So be it. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
when you're victorious, then watch the Super Bowl tonight. And watch the team that wins. And see if there's anyone on the winning team, any of those fans that are sitting in their seats. They're on their feet. They are giving shout. They are the winners. Watch the winners tonight. They're going to go crazy. I think the Eagles are going to win tonight. Maybe the Patriots. We'll see. But I'll tell you right now, we're winning this morning. We've got a victory this morning. We have the victory.
That it's for us, right? One scripture, the Bible says that God exalted Jesus, seated him at the right hand of the Father, far above all principalities and powers and dominions, right? And he's put all things under his feet and given him to be the head over the church, which is his body. So when God gave Jesus authority over all principalities and powers and over all these things, he did it for our sake.
Amen.
He did it on our behalf. He had that authority right from the start. But it says that he has made him to be the head, and we are the body, and everything's under his feet. And the sooner we get a grip on what he's done for us, we'll be dancing day in and day out. If you are here for the first time, what we like to do is just give you a gift. Our ushers have it ready. Just a gift pack, a visitor pack right where you're sitting. So if you're here for the first time, would you mind just waving your hand that we can welcome you? Anyone here for the first time? God bless you. Drop it in the offering bag when it comes by near the end of the service. And thanks so much for coming. We hope you enjoy the service.
Okay? Good. Can I ask someone, one of the ushers, to please get me some water if you don't mind? I would appreciate it. Here you stay. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Are you doing good today?
Yes.
It's good to see you today.
Good to see you.
Thank you. Are you ready for God's word this morning?
Yes.
I am ready. How about I am ready. I'm excited to learn and to study God's word. How about you?
Yes.
Did anyone bring their Bible to church today?
Yes.
You did?
Yes.
Let's see it. Hold it up. I've got mine down here. Hold it up. Got my Bible reading card in there. Got your Bible reading card. How many got a notepad? Hold your notepad up. You're going to be thankful for a notepad today. It's good to do that. There's no way you can remember everything I'm going to tell you. If I need notes, trust me, you need notes. And it's good to go home and just review and go over these things, because there's a lot I'm going to share with you this morning. And so it's always a good idea to take notes. So let's pray and get right into God's Word. Can we do that? Father, we thank you today. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Father. Your word is what brings us wisdom, brings us faith, brings us life, direction. Your word is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. Lord, as we come now to study your word, thank you for your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you give us understanding today. You bring revelation to our hearts. Lord, I acknowledge that I'm trusting you to enable me and anoint me and speak through me today. I'm not trusting in myself and my own human abilities, but I'm trusting in you, the greater one who lives within me. I thank you, Lord, that you rise up big within me today, and that you think through my mind, and you speak through my lips, and you carry your words spoken by your anointing to every person's heart, bringing faith, removing doubt and unbelief, Lord, bringing understanding, dispelling all confusion. We give you the praise for everything said and done in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.
Amen.
I want to welcome those who watch this online today. So this morning, I want to speak about the fountain in your mouth. The fountain in your mouth. Say, I've got a fountain in my mouth. Maybe it sounds a little strange to you. What does that mean? Well, the scripture says in Proverbs chapter 10, in verse number 11, the words of the godly are a life-giving fountain. The words of the godly are a life-giving fountain. Say, I have a life-giving fountain in my mouth. Say, my words are a life-giving fountain. I want to read one passage here from the book of James. It's about 8 verses long. So you can put this in part of your Bible reading for today. You read your Bible a little bit. In James chapter 3, verse number 2, it says this. We all fail in many ways, in many areas, but especially with our words. Yet if we are able to bridle the words we say, we are powerful enough to control ourselves in every way. And that means our character is mature and completely developed. Horses have bits and bridles in their mouths so that we can control and guide their large body. And it's the same with mighty ships. Though they are massive and driven by fierce winds, yet they are steered by a tiny rudder at the direction of the person at the helm. And so the tongue is small, a small part of the body, yet it carries great power. Just think of how a small flame can set a huge forest ablaze. And the tongue is a fire. It can be compared to the sum total of wickedness. It is the most dangerous part of the human body. Is your tongue. It says it corrupts the entire body as a hellish flame. It releases a fire that can burn throughout the course of human existence. For every wild animal on earth, including birds, creeping reptiles, and creatures of the sea and land, have been overpowered and tamed by humans. But the tongue is not able to be tamed. It's a fickle, unrestrained evil that spews out words full of toxic poison. We use our tongue to praise God, our Father, and then turn around and curse a person who was made in his very image. Out of the same mouth, we pour out words of praise 1 minute and then curses the next. My brothers and sisters, this should never be. And then the New Living Translation says, blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. We should not have blessing and cursing coming out of our mouth. We should only speak words of blessing.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
We should only speak words that are encouraging. Our words are powerful. I mean, we all know this in this church. We know that our words are powerful. We all know that Proverbs 18, verse 21 says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. We all know that. We know that God cannot do more for us than what our words allow him to. Right? Jesus told us that we would have whatever we say. If we believe what we're saying in our heart, he said, you will have whatever you say. That's what Jesus said. We know that we must bless our lives and we must bless our future with our words.
Yeah.
We mustn't curse ourselves. We can see from James chapter 3, our words direct our life. Just like a little bit in a horse's mouth, you can control the horse. And just like the rudder on a big ship, you can control the ship. Your tongue controls the direction of your life. Are you here this morning?
Yeah.
If you don't like the direction your life is going, you need to change the things you're saying about it.
Amen.
Don't ever say something you don't want to happen. But what I want to speak about this morning is not just speaking words of life and blessing over our own lives, but speaking life and blessing over the people around us.
Yeah.
See, Proverbs 13 verse 3 says, guard your words and you'll guard your life. But if you don't control your tongue, it'll ruin everything. Guard your words, and you'll guard your life. Proverbs 21, verse 23 says, watch your words, be careful what you say, and you'll be surprised how few troubles you'll have. Are you with me?
So
someone said, you know what? Every year I get the flu. Every year. I always get the flu. And then it comes up and they get the flu and they say, I told you. I told you. Well, you see, if you probably shouldn't have said every year I get the flu because your words are powerful. It's essential to speak words of faith and blessing over our own life. But I want to talk about blessing other people with your words. Proverbs 10 verse 21 says, the words of the godly encourage men. We are supposed to encourage people with our words. Do you know your words have the power to lift people up? Do you know your words have the power to help people get through? That's me. Whatever. All right, just... I moved too much. Your words have the power to help people get through a challenge and actually to push them into their destiny. When you tell someone, I love you, I'm proud of you, you did great on that project, you're going to get through this. You're not just being kind, that's actually you speaking healing words over your life. You know, you don't know what people are going through. Sometimes people are smiling on the outside, but on the inside, they're hurting, they're lonely, discouraged. Many people have wounds from the past. They have wounds from a relationship that didn't work out. They have wounds from people trying to push them down. And just a simple word of encouragement, I believe in you. I'm praying for you. Just a simple compliment. You look beautiful today. If it's no big deal to you, but to them, it's helping heal the wounds. It's lifting their spirits. It's helping them to believe in themselves. Your words can be what keeps them moving forward. And you know, let me tell you, God puts people in our lives on purpose so we can bring healing to them. I mean, that security guard who works at your office, don't just pass by him every day for the next 20 years. Take a moment to bless him with your words. I mean, you don't have to, you know, spend 10 minutes. Just a simple, hey, great to see you today. I appreciate you taking care of us. You just spoke a blessing over his life. You're letting people know that you care. It does more than what you can imagine. Because how many of you know we live in a society today that's filled with a lot of negative chatter? I mean, through the internet, social media. My Lord. It's becoming normal to be disrespectful. People think nothing of saying hurtful, critical things. More than ever, people need healing words spoken over them. Amen? And you've got the power. You have the power to put someone on their feet. You have the power to keep them from falling into depression. You have the power to cause them to pursue their dreams. You have a fountain in your mouth that brings healing and life and blessing. But without your blessing, your encouragement, your compliments, they won't become what they should become. Don't miss the opportunities. Don't be so caught up in your own life, in your own career, and in your own challenges. Take time to be a healer, to be a lifter. God needs you. Do you know God has no voice on this earth to encourage except your voice? He's counting on you to help heal the people that are in your life. When someone does something good for me, when they're kind to me, I'm grateful. And of course, I tell them thank you. But let me tell you, when somebody does something good for my children, when they go out of their way for my children, to help them in their time of need. As a parent, there's nothing I wouldn't do for that person. And how many of you know that's the way God is? When you go out of your way to bless one of His children, when you make it your business to encourage your co-worker who's down, or when you stop by to see the friend that's not feeling well, when you call your relative just to tell them that you love them. Remember the song I just called? Say, I love you. Let me tell you, because you're taking care of God's children, God will make sure someone is always there to take care of you, to bring healing, to to bring encouragement, to show you favor. Because really, when you speak words of blessing and healing over someone else, you're really sowing seeds. It's like sowing a seed is going to come back to you.
Amen.
You're going to look around, who's in your life? The clerk at the grocery store. The barrister at Starbucks. The attendant at the gas station. The assistant at the gym. They need what you have. They need encouragement. They need affirmation. They need to know you believe in them. So don't keep the healing to yourself. Be free with your compliments. Because how many of you know a blessing is not a blessing until it's spoken?
Amen.
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 I've heard men say to me, well, my wife knows that I love her. And she knows I think she's beautiful. Because I told them when we got married. And nothing's changed. I still feel the same. 20 years later. Ladies, how many of you want your husband to tell you that he loves you and you're beautiful every day? Most of us, okay guys, it doesn't look like it's a big deal here. How many of you know your thoughts don't bless anybody? You can think well of your wife or think well of your friend all day long, but if you never tell them, they're never going to know.
Amen.
And no matter how many times you complimented a person, when that thought comes up to you, you should tell them again because it's God bringing it up to you.
Amen. Amen.
Are you with me?
Yes.
You don't know what they're going through. You don't know the battles they're fighting. You don't know the people trying to push them down. God wouldn't have brought it up if he didn't want you to tell them. Amen? And these days it's easier than ever, because if they're not there in person, you can just send them a text. Hey, I'm thinking about you, I'm praying for you, I love you. Right? Proverbs 15 verse 4 says, kind words bring life, but cruel words crush your spirit. See, some people, their spirit's been crushed because of things that have been said over them. But kind words bring life. The New Living Bible says gentle words are a tree of life. And the Message Bible says kind words heal and help, but cutting words wound and maim. Do you know you can wound people with words or you can heal people with words? The Passion Bible, Passion Translation says, listen to this. When you speak healing words, you offer others fruit from the tree of life, but unhealthy negative words do nothing but crush their hopes. How many of you know we're not out to crush people's hopes? We're out to lift people's hopes. Isn't that right? Your kind words can heal, they can help, but cruel words can crush somebody's spirit. Now when we think of healing, many times, we think of praying for people for healing, like we did this morning. And of course, that is one way. But what I want you to see is your words have healing power. When you're kind and encouraging, when you don't just think something good, but you verbalize it and you say it, you're being a healer with your words. It's amazing what one kind word can do. We don't think anything about it, but to the other person, it breathes life to their spirit. Amen?
Amen?
You know, a pastor's wife that I know, they pastor a large church, she and her husband, she was walking through the lobby after service one Sunday, and she saw a lady, she didn't know her, but she just went over and said, hi, you're so beautiful. And then she, you know, she carried on with where she was headed to. A couple of months later, the same lady attended one of their new visitors' reception at the church, and she went over to the pastor, and she said, Pastor, your wife will never know what she did for me that day. She told how she'd gone through a bitter divorce, and she felt so unattractive, and she felt so beaten down. And every voice was telling her that she wasn't worth anything, and she'd never love again. And she said, when your wife looked me in the eye, and she told me that I was so beautiful, it was like strongholds in my mind were broken. And all of a sudden, that depression lifted off of her, and she had a new perspective. She realized, I'm still beautiful. I'm still a child of the Most High God. I'm still fearfully and wonderfully made. God still has a great plan and destiny for my life. She said for the next few months, any time that she was tempted to get discouraged, she would replay that phrase over and over in her mind, I'm still so beautiful. It's amazing. Listen, it's amazing what one kind word can do. I mean, if you saw someone who was sick, they were fighting an illness, and you had the cure, you had the medicine that would help them get well, wouldn't you try and get it to them as quickly as you could? You'd go over to them as fast as you could, and you say, yeah, take this right now. I don't want you to suffer anymore. Well, that's the way you need to see your compliments, your kind words, your encouragement. It's the healing that people need. Don't withhold it. Don't try and reason it out. Well, they look like they're doing fine. I'm sure some people tell her she's beautiful all the time. That'll be my encouragement. No, you're looking on the outside. You don't know what's happening on the inside. I've learned everybody's going through something. Amen? Even people that look like they've got it all together. They look so happy and blessed and strong. Can I tell you? They haven't got it all together. There's always something that they're dealing with. Amen? We don't understand the power of a simple compliment. The power of I believe in you. You're going to make it. Great things are in your future. Your words, they may seem ordinary to you. But when God inspires them and God breathes on them, they become extraordinary to the other person. Are you with me this morning?
Yes.
Somebody today needs your healing words. Somebody won't get past that depression without you speaking blessings over them. That's what I want you to see today, is God wants to use you to bring healing with your words. Somebody's going to give up on a dream. They're going to get talked out of God's best unless you step up and encourage them. Will you be a healer? Will you use your words to lift and bless people? Because let me tell you, our words can be life-giving water. Proverbs 10:11 says, the words of the godly are a life-giving fountain. Proverbs 18:21 says, your words are so powerful that they will kill or give life. The Message Bible says, words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. You choose. You want to speak words that bring life? You want to speak words that bring death? You want to speak words that heal, encourage, lift up? Or words that cut, maim, and wound and put people down? I don't know about you, but I'm going to be a healer. How about you? Amen? And I found today, people are thirsty. People are thirsty. They've gone through heartaches. They've been beaten down and lying. Let me tell you, you have something to offer them. Your words can help heal the hurt. You've got to be aware of who God has put in your life. Be sensitive to what you're feeling down here in your spirit. Take time to let people know that you care about them. I mean, I heard Joel Osteen was listening the other day, and he was telling a story when he was in his early 20s. There was a young man started to come to the gym to play basketball with them. And this is going back, you know, a number of years, probably 30 years. And Joel said this young man, he was a loner. He was unfriendly. He was cold. He never really talked to anyone. Even during the game, he wouldn't interact with them. And most of the guys, he said, just ignored him. But something down in Joel's heart told him to reach out to him to make him feel welcome. And this young man's name was Bo. And so whenever Bo would come into the gym, Joel would make a point to go over to him and say, hey, Bo, it's great to see you today. It's great to see you today. And he said, Bo never said anything in reply. He would just hit his chest twice. And Joel wasn't sure what that meant, so he just did the same thing. And he said, this went on for several years. Joel saw Bo about 4 or 5 times a week. And then Joel stopped playing basketball there. And then he lost touch and he hadn't seen Bo in over 20 years. But one Sunday, Bo showed up at church. And he came to Joel after the service and he told how that he grew up in the projects. And when he was 14 years old, he started living on his own. Nobody wanted him. And he never felt loved and he never felt accepted. And he said one of the main reasons why I used to go to the gym But just to hear you say, it's great to see you today, because nobody else will tell you that. John never realized at the time, Bo was thirsty. And those simple, kind words were like life-giving water. And today, Bo is happily married, he has children, serving the Lord, he's setting a new standard for his family. But it's amazing that that simple thing, Joel would say, great to see you, stayed with him for years. Let me tell you, nobody is in your life by accident. Don't ignore what you feel down on the inside. That compassion that you feel to encourage someone, that desire to be their friend, let me tell you, that's God. He's prompting you. They're thirsty. You have the water. Take time to make them feel loved. It doesn't have to be something big. I mean, just, hey, it's great to see you. I believe in you. I'm praying for you.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yes.
If you don't know how to do this, just get it around big neck. Just hang it around big neck. Because I want to tell you, I never do I spend time talking to big neck without coming away and feeling good. Because he always has something good to say. He always compliments you.
Amen.
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 You see, if we're not careful, we'll just pass right by thirsty people. There's no greater feeling than to give them water. There's nothing more rewarding than helping someone else rise higher.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. When we come to the end of life, we may be known for a lot of things. Maybe we'll be known because of the success we had in our career, or we lived in a nice house, or we were talented. Those are all good things. But I would rather people say about me, Steve was a healer.
Yeah.
He lifted me when I was down.
Yeah.
He encouraged me when I felt stuck.
Yes.
He told me I could accomplish my dreams that I never thought I could accomplish. Where are the healers? Where are the lifters? There's enough people saying negative, judgmental, critical words, family. Our attitude should be, who can I bless today? Who can I help heal today? Who can I help feel better about myself today? And why don't you start with your own family? How long has it been since you told the people in your life, I love you, I'm glad you're mine? Don't let a stranger compliment your spouse more than you do. Don't let a coach or a teacher or a friend make your children feel more special than you do. Every day, bless your children with your words. Tell them how proud you are of them. Tell them that they can become, you know, they can become anything. They can do anything. God is on their side. Pour out their seeds of greatness. Remind them they're made and created in the image of God, that they're full of potential. They're going to do great things. Your children are supposed to go further than you. But the anointing is supposed to increase with each generation. You know, children have got so much to deal with these days. I mean, the social chatter, all the bullying and the hurtful words. But let me tell you, when you tell your child, I love you, I'm blessed to have you as my child, that's not only helping to heal the wounds, but it's protecting them, because that's what causes those hurtful words to bounce off of them. I mean, honestly, my kids, I mean, you could have, I'm getting a bit ahead of myself, so let me hold on with that thought, because that's coming up just now. The more that people speak negatively over you, and over your family, and over your friends, the more you need to speak these positive, faith-filled words over your children, and over your family, and over your friends.
Amen.
Recently, Jill was counseling someone, a lady, and she told how that her husband was speaking so negatively and so harshly to her and over their children. He was very critical of her. I mean, she said, I can spend all day taking care of the kids and cleaning the house, but when my husband comes home, he'll ignore all the cleaning and he'll focus on the one spot that I missed. And she's about had enough. And she said, he'll tell my, My seven-year-old son, he'll say, "You're such a good boy. I'm so proud of you." But then he'll tell the other son, "You're a bad boy. Why can't you do anything right? You never do anything right." She spoke to her husband about it many times. And he said, "I don't know why I do it. I don't want to be this way. I don't know why I say those things." And this lady, then she met someone who was friends with her husband when he was growing up, when they were in school. And he said, "Oh yes, I remember your husband. I used to go to his house every day. I used to go play at his house every day." He said, "Boy, his father was harsh. He couldn't do anything right in his father's eyes. His dad was always criticizing him." Then she realized where it came from. He's just repeating what he's seen when he was growing up. Is it repeating what he had experienced? Recently, one of our children told us, said, "I never realized, Dad, how blessed I was, because I can't remember a time that you and Mom ever said anything negative to us." Now listen, if our kids misbehave like any other kids would, you know, no one's perfect. If our kids misbehave, I'd warn them, "Don't do that again, you know, be compassionate." But if they continued and they wouldn't listen, I said, "Now listen, I'm going to spank you." Just ask Nadine. She got more spanks than any other kid. That's why she's so good today. But no, I would, you know, why did I do that? Because that's what the scripture says. The scripture says if you spare the rod, you hate your child. The scripture says the rod of correction will drive rebellion out of the heart of the child. So the hardest thing for me to do as a dad, the hardest thing was to spank my kids. And I would never spank them in anger. I would always sit down. I would explain to them what they'd done. I would tell them, "Now, I love you, but what you did, it was wrong, blah, 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 and I warned you, and you didn't listen, blah, blah, blah." Smack, 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 smack. Cry, 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 cry. Hug them. "I love you." It's all done. Now, let me tell you, that doesn't wound a child. You know what wounds a child? You're no good. You never do nothing right. You never listen to you. You're never good enough to anything. That wounds a child. Are you still here?
Yes.
I was very fortunate in my life. I was very fortunate to have parents who believed in me. I mean, my mom and dad thought that me and my sisters were the greatest thing on the earth. They believed we could just do anything we wanted to do in life. And I never realized until I grew older that not everyone had that. I thought that said it's for every kid, but it's not that way. Not every kid has someone who believes in them like that. Jill grew up in a home where her father spoke very harshly, very negatively over her two older brothers. He would tell them, "You're never going to amount to anything. You're going to end up on the street." Now the reason he said it was because he was trying to warn them because they were doing things that was taking them down the wrong path. So he might have had the right intention, but the result was very different. For years he would tell them, "You're never going to amount to anything. You'll land up living on the street." The amazing thing is that her dad never said those kind of things to Jill or to her younger sister. For some reason he was very protective on them, but he was very tough on the brothers. And do you know that her brothers, they struggled their entire life. They couldn't hold a job. They couldn't hold a relationship. They both ended up in the same mental institution. But one brother died at 53 and the other one at 49 in the same mental institution. Did Jill's dad want that to happen? Of course he didn't. But his words were like a curse spoken over his son. Now listen, family. Let's not make that mistake. If you've had people speak negatively over you in your life, you need to stop the cycle now.
That's right.
You need to set a new standard for your family now.
Amen.
You need to speak life and blessing and healing over your children.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be standing here today if it wasn't for all the people that have spoken blessing over my life. So many people have told me that I could do things that I didn't think I could do. When Pastor Theo told me you called to preach the word, I thought, "You must be kidding me." I couldn't even stand up in front of people. I was so shy. I was so embarrassed. And he told me, you could have, God anointed you. And the first time I got up, he had me teaching Bible college. And my knees were like this. Knees had me coming. First time that I ever spoke, I don't know if anyone understood a word I said, because I was so nervous. But I'm so thankful for people that have believed in me. Listen, you need to use your words to help these people into their destiny, right, to encourage them, to pursue their dreams, to let them know that you believe in them. Because many times, we can see things in people that they can't see in themselves. And your blessing and your encouragement, that can be what causes them to step up and become who they were created to be. And you say, amen?
Amen?
Let me tell you, your destiny is connected to the people that God's put in your life. If you're going to reach your potential, this is not an option. You've got to look around you. Who can you bless? Who can you help heal? Who can you show favor to? Well, Pastor Steve, as soon as my husband starts doing what I want him to do, then I'll start encouraging him. Then I will, then I'll compliment him. No, no, here's the key. If you quit nagging him about what he's doing wrong and start praising him for what he's doing right, he'll begin to change.
Amen.
And all the husbands said amen. Come on, don't get down now. Let me tell you, people respond to praise. Not criticism, not being nagged, not being berated. The scripture even says in Proverbs 21 verse 19, you ready for this? It's better to live alone in the desert than with a nagging, quarrelsome, complaining wife. The Passion Translation says it like this. It's better to live in a hut in the wilderness than with a crabby, scolding spouse. Proverbs 27 verse 15 says, an endless drip, drip, drip from a leaky faucet, and the words of a cranky, nagging wife have the same effect. There's good preaching for that, isn't there? What am I saying? Don't be a nagger. Because nobody wants to be around someone who's always harping on them, pointing out what's wrong, finding fault. No one wants to be around that, right? I heard a saying. It says, some people are like clouds. When they disappear, it's a beautiful thing. Don't let that be you. We should be so full of encouragement, so full of compliments, that people want to be around us, like me. I love to see Nick. When I see him coming, I make my way. But I know he's going to tell me something good today. He's going to tell me you look good, Pastor Steve. He's going to be something good. You know, we want people that they're glad to see us coming. Not when they see us coming, they turn around and head off into the desert. Ladies, instead of nagging your husband, why don't you mow the lawn? Can't you see how? Can't you see how? Oh. Thank God I said, instead of nagging your husband, why don't you go mow the lawn? What I mean is, instead of nagging him, honey, why don't you go mow the lawn? Look how high it is. Next time, try a different approach. When you see him out there mowing the lawn, tell him how strong he is, how muscular he looks. Tell him what a great physique he has. How handsome he is. Let me tell you, you grab on him like that, he'll mow the lawn every day. Because praise, encouragement, honor, that's what people respond to. Like one man, he opened his front door one morning, because we are about to go out and get the newspaper at the curb. But the dog from across the street was sitting on his front porch, had his newspaper in his mouth. He was pleasantly surprised. He didn't have to walk out to the curb to go get his newspaper. So he started petting the dog, praising the dog. Man, you're a good dog. You're a good dog. He even went inside, got a treat. Come out, gave a treat to the dog. Next morning, he opened the front door. There were 8 newspapers on the door. That dog had gone from house to house, picking up all the newspapers. Let me tell you, like that dog, we respond to praise. Everyone needs encouragement. Everyone needs someone cheering them on. Someone who sees the best in them. You can be that person for the people in your life. You can be the one that they count on. You be the one who doesn't find fault. You the one that has the healing words. The words that uplift and encourage. If there are no compliments in your home, no praise, no encouragement, if it's all nagging, why didn't you do better? The other person isn't going to want to come home. You can change the atmosphere. You can bring healing to a relationship. It starts with your words. By blessing your spouse, blessing your children, complimenting them. I love you. I'm proud of you. I'm glad you're in my life. Let me tell you, kindness and compliments are the glue that holds a relationship together. Because how many of you know they've already got enough people pushing them down? The accuser is already telling them everything they're not. Why don't you use your words to build them up, tell them what they can become, make them feel better about themselves. Amen. In Proverbs chapter 10, verse 32, the scripture says, the lips of the godly speak helpful words, but the mouth of the wicked speaks perverse words. The Passion Translation puts it like this, words that bring delight pour from the lips of the godly, but the words of the wicked are duplicious. Proverbs 12, verse 18, some people make cunning remarks, but the words of the wise bring healing. Proverbs 15, 26, the Lord delights in kind words. Do you know that when you speak kindly, God delights in it?
Yeah.
Proverbs 16, 24 says, nothing is more appealing than speaking beautiful, life-giving words, for they release sweetness to our souls and inner healing to our spirit.
Amen.
That's powerful. Nothing is more appealing than speaking beautiful, life-giving words.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Dodie Osteen, that's Pastor Joe Osteen's mother. His mom, Dodie, and her husband, John, who went on to be with the Lord, they founded Lakewood Church in 1959. And when Dodie Osteen was a child, I don't know if you know this, but she had polio. When she was a child, she had polio. And so she had braces on her legs, and now one leg is much smaller than the other leg. And for many years, she was really self-conscious about it. She tried to cover them up. She tried to wear clothes that would hide them. But in her early 30s, just after she married John Osteen, a guest minister was coming to speak at their church. And this man was always very positive and very encouraging and uplifting. And Dodie was walking in front of this minister, and he turned to her husband, John, and he said, look at Dodie, John. She walks like a princess. Until that point, Dodie Osteen had never heard anything good about the way she walked. In fact, she was kind of embarrassed by the way she walked, because she walks with a limp. She has to walk much slower. But when she heard this man say, look at Dodie, she walks like a princess, it changed her whole attitude. She stopped being embarrassed about it. She put her shoulders back, and she started walking like she was royalty. That was over 40 years ago, but you know, Dodie Osteen says she remembers it like it was yesterday, because it was such a significant moment in her life. One compliment can have an impact for a lifetime. Amen. Let me tell you, what if that man, that minister, had just thought it, but never said it? What if he talked himself out of it? Maybe Dodie would still be self-conscious. Don't withhold your blessing, your encouragement, your compliments, because that can be what causes them to step up to who they were created to be. And there are people in your life right now. They need your healing. They need your blessing. They're thirsty. And you have life-giving water, your words. You can be the one that helps them walk like a princess for the next 40 years. You can be the one that reminds them that they're beautiful and the chains of depression will be broken off of them. Look around this week, family. Look for the attitude. Who can I bless? Who can I help heal? Who can I help push into their destiny? Because if you'll develop this habit of speaking healing words, I believe, family, not only will you make others rise higher, but those seeds are going to come back to you. That God delights in your kind words, and God is going to cause you to rise higher, and you will accomplish dreams, and you will overcome obstacles, and you will become everything God created you to be. When you live your life as a healer, when you look around, who can I bring healing? Who can I lift up? Who can I encourage? Who can I compliment? This is the way we should be. The words of the godly are a life-giving fountain. Amen. 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 Well, did you get something out of this today?
Yes.
Tell your neighbor, I have a life-giving fountain. Say,
I determine
that I'm going to be a healer, that I'm going to be a lifter, that I'm going to speak blessing, I'm going to speak kindly, I'm going to encourage people, I'm going to look out for who I am. Amen?
Amen.
See, sometimes we think it's just superficial. But let me tell you, you've got no idea. When you feel that prompting to compliment, be good to someone, go ahead and do it. Amen?
Amen.
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 Tell your neighbor, I love you. Tell them, you look beautiful. Tell them, I believe in you. Tell them, God's got great things ahead of you. In the name of Jesus. Imagine. We all go out today, this week, all over Jupiter, where we live, and we all look for people that we can speak words and blessings. Imagine a whole church. You come to church, and all you get is just compliments, 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 compliments. Oh, you look great. You look good. I don't know about you, but I want to go to a church like that. Amen. If you have a church like that, you never have any strife, you never have any division. If everyone's so busy loving and complimenting and encouraging, you know. Well, I've got news for you. That's how it's supposed to be.
Amen.
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 Praise God. Good. Well, I'm going to ask you to bow your head for a moment if you don't mind. I want to pray for you. Bow your head if you would. Close your eyes. Father, I thank you for every person that's here this morning. I know that not one person is here as an accident, but that every person is here as a moment of destiny by your divine hand. They heard this message today because this is what you wanted them to hear. And I thank you, Lord, that you love each and every one of us, that you believe in us, and your word, you speak life over our life. You speak blessing over our life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I want to ask you while you have your head bowed and while you have your eyes closed, before we close the service this morning, I want to pray especially if there's anyone here this morning and you are not sure where you stand with God. You're not sure if all is right, if all is well between you and the Lord. I'd like to ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for sure? Can you say you know for certain? If you died today, you know you'd go to heaven. You're absolutely positive about that. Or would you have to be honest? If Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such a church. Listen, I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. And I'm not asking you even if you believe in God. I'm asking you, if you died today, can you say that you know for sure that you would go to heaven? Because the good news is you can know that. You can be sure about it. You can leave here this morning and you can know that all is right, all is well between you and God. You can know that every mistake and every sin that you've ever committed, it's forgiven and it's washed away. And you can know for certain that when you die, heaven is where you will spend eternity, because heaven is real. Let me tell you, there is a heaven to gain. There is a heaven that awaits us. And there is a hell to shun. And I want to pray for you this morning. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. But right where you sit, while we have our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if you say, Pastor Steve, please pray for me. I want to make sure that all is right, all is well between me and God. I want to be sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. please pray for me. If that is you, dear friend, I want you quickly, right now. If you want to be a part of this prayer, just lift your hand up right now. Lift it up high. Here's my hand, Pastor Steve. I'm looking for hands. And if your hand is raised, then you are included in this prayer this morning. God bless you. All right. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's how you can be sure that all is well and all is right with you and God, is simply by believing in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and confessing with your mouth, Jesus, I make you Lord of my life. That's how you become a child of God. How many of you have done that? Wave your hand at me. If you say, I believe in my heart and Jesus raised him from the dead, I confess him as Lord. Wave your hand at me. Say, Jesus is Lord of my life. Amen.
Good word, amen.
Amen.
Change the way our week goes. Right? From the moment we walk out of here. Right now is the time we have the opportunity to give into the kingdom of God. And it's a good opportunity. Amen. And I just want to read one passage. I read this from the Passion Translation, 2 Corinthians 9. I read it from the Passion Translation this week, and I just simply want to read that to you this week. Let the word speak to you. I want you to see just three things that I see in this. When we give, when we tithe and give, people are blessed. God loves it. And the giver receives an overflow of abundance. So let's just read that from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. Here is my point, Paul's writing to the church. A stingy sower will reap a meager harvest. But the one who sows from a generous spirit will reap an abundant harvest. Let giving flow from your heart, not from a sense of religious duty. Let it spring up freely from the joy of giving, all because God loves hilarious generosity. Yes, God is more than ready to overwhelm you with every form of grace, so that you will have more than enough of everything. Every moment, in every way, He will make you overflow with abundance in every good thing you do. Just as the scripture says about the one who trusts in Him, because He has sown extravagantly and given to the poor, His kindness and generous deeds will never be forgotten. This generous God who supplies abundant seed for the farmer, which becomes bread for our meals, is even more extravagant towards you. First, He supplies every need, plus more. Then He multiplies the seed you sow, so that the harvest of your generosity will grow. You will be abundantly enriched in every way as you give generously on every occasion. For when we take your gifts to those in need, it causes many to give thanks to God. This priestly ministry you are providing through your offering not only supplies what is lacking for God's people, it inspires an outpouring of praise and thanksgiving to God Himself. So giving, family. Giving blesses people. God loves it when we give. And when we give, it opens the door for God to cause an overflow of abundance. Amen? I can't say that better myself. That was just amazingly put. Right? So as we give this morning, thank you for your generosity. Thank you for your faithfulness. We are going forward with the kingdom of God. Amen? We believe in God for blessing and increase on your life. Those that are watching online, you can go ahead and give. Let's trust God and pray over this right now. Father, thank you for the generous givers in this church. Thank you, Father, for helping us to be more generous on every occasion. Father, thank you for the overflow of abundance that we begin to see in our lives, that as you are pleased with our giving, Father, we see a return. We see the harvest on our seed sown. Thank you that this week we see harvest in our lives. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Amen. It's gone. Ushers, you can go ahead with that. Thanks.
Praise God. You know, offering time is where we express our gratitude and thanks to God for all He's blessed us with this week. How many of you the Lord blessed you this week?
Amen.
If you earn any money, you got any money, that was a blessing from God. So we're grateful and we thank you, Lord, for what you blessed us with. But then secondly, as we tithe, we can expectation, because to keep the windows of heaven open in our life, for God to continue to bless us this week.
Amen.
Amen. I want to ask you to play the intro promo and then we'll close. Thank you.
Nothing is too hard for God. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ever ask or ever think. There is nothing too hard for God. If your heart belongs to Him, He will deny you nothing. If you seek Him and His kingdom first, He will add everything to you. Nothing will be short. Everything will be there. You will have it all. That's God's promise.
I will be here, but we are looking forward to having Prophet Ed Trout.
Yes. Yes.
Have you never seen Ed Trout? I encourage you not to miss next Sunday, because just God has given Ed such an amazing gift. He prophesies so accurately over individuals. God shows him things about people, and he speaks things into their future. And I'm always amazed at how detailed and how accurate, how spot on he is. And so I believe that the Lord has a word for our church. I have a very important announcement that I'm going to make next week. A very important announcement. I would ask you to be here for that next week. And then Prophet Ed Trout is going to be great. Amen. I want to thank all of our volunteers who served this morning. We appreciate all of our volunteers. Our children's workers and our media volunteers and our singers, our musicians and our greeters, and we appreciate so much our setup team. Who was here this morning? Who was on the setup team this morning? James? We miss James there. We miss James.
We just took the offering.
James, where are you, buddy?
He just took the offering out.
He went back that way. Well, James and the setup team sitting over here, right? We're here early this morning, and I want to thank you that for setting up, folks. We've just got a few more months left in this at this location. We'll be moving to our new building on Indian Town Road in a few months from now. About May, we'll be in our new building, and so we only have set up for a few more months. And I'm asking for a few more men to step up and help, because we have the same people that have been doing setup since we moved to the hotel in June of 2016. We've had the same team setting up, and I would like to start a third team. We have two teams, but I'd like to start a third team so that we can have a three-week rotation system. So it's not the same people getting here at 6:30 a.m. every Sunday morning, but we have other people participating. So I'm looking for four men. Or we'll say, Pastor Steve, I will help for the next few months, be on that setup team. It'll be every 3 weeks. We can start a third team, then only once every 3 weeks will you be doing setup. I'm looking for four men to step up, say, I will do it until from now until May. That's all you got is a few months left. Okay, who would volunteer? Who would dare to step up and say, I will do it? Huh? Anyone? Thank you. One. more. Sleep like one more. Lord, we thank you that you are so good to us. Lord, there is no one who has ever spoken kinder over our life than you. There's no one who's ever shown greater love than you. And Lord, I thank you that you have given us the ability to be able to lift and encourage and bring healing to people around us. And I thank you, Father, as we go out of here today, that this won't be just another sermon that we heard and we forget, but that we will put this into practice and this will change the atmosphere around us. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for all the things you've done for us this past week. And I thank you, Lord, for all the great things that you have in store for us this week that lies ahead. We have expectancy. We thank you, Lord, that your mercy and your goodness follow us all the days of our life. We thank you that blessings are chasing after us, overtaking us, Lord. We thank you for your goodness, your favor, your protection, your angels that protect us. Thank you, Father, for using us to let our light shine. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I want to thank everyone who invited someone to come to church with you today. Please, as you go home, take that little invite card sitting on your seat, under your butt, take it out, and invite someone next Sunday. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you next time, everybody. We'll see you next week.